Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews and the 11th chapter. When I say Hebrews in the 11th chapter, many people know where we're going. It's the Faith Hall of Fame, and it's a monumental chapter in the Bible. They're all good chapters. We call this a monumental chapter. If you would stand for the reading of the Word, I will read verses 1 through 6. We will focus on verse 6, and we'll really be talking about the entire chapter and all of the Bible, actually. And we'll call today's message, "Which Message Are You Hearing?" Which message are you hearing makes all the difference in the world. Hebrews 11, "Hear God speak." Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We seek you now, Lord. I pray you may be found among us. I know you are with me even now. Use this vessel to show your mighty power that you still speak today. For we ask it and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is for me. Jesus is with me. I live and die for Jesus. Now, what do you think when you hear me say that? Maybe you think, that sounds phony to me. What a hypocrite. How arrogant you are. I don't want to be like that. Maybe you hear, that isn't real for me. I wish I could say that, but I'll never be like that. What a downer. But maybe you hear it and you say, that sounds good to me. I believe in Jesus too. And I believe I can be that, just like that. What a blessing. Jesus is for me. Jesus is with me. I live and die for Jesus. Which message are you hearing? Because it makes all the difference in the world. And when you look at Hebrews 11, there's a lot to look at and discover. Lots of messages we could do. Maybe we will. I don't know. But it's all about faith, and it's called the Faith Hall of Fame, and for a good reason. Now, just quickly going through, because we want to focus on verse 6, but going through verse 1, it tells you that faith is being sure of what you hope for, being convinced of what you don't actually see. And verse 2 tells you the people of chapter 11 receive commendation, not condemnation, commendation for their faith. They were convinced by a sure hope, and that's why they acted like they did. Now, verse 3 tells you that your faith starts with your view of God. Faith in God knows that he created the universe out of nothing. You don't start there. You don't have biblical faith. I mean, right there. Verse 4 tells you how Abel was declared righteous through faith, which was demonstrated through his sacrifices. And even though he died, his faithful witness still speaks to us. Now, verse 5 tells you how Enoch pleased God and how he never experienced physical death. Now, Abel and Enoch are different signs here, but they point to how God is worthy of your faith whether you live or die. And then verses 7 through the rest of the chapter just keep reiterating that same truth. They talk about all these heroes of the faith and all the things they did, the reality and the power of their faith of God, in God. Some did great exploits and proved their faith. Some died as martyrs and proved their faith. But as you look into the stories of these people, you're going to notice something. You find these heroes were all still humans. You don't see a whole lot of that necessarily in Hebrews 11. You see all this dun-dun-dun-dun. But they had their issues. They had their problems. They had their sins. Wake up! It's just the same with any of the heroes of the Bible or any of the heroes of the faith since then. We're all flawed people. We all have failed at times. Romans 3:23 says we all fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. But if you look at Hebrews 11, there's something curious there. You don't see him mention all their failures, even though some of them had a lot. You see, these heroes were defined by their faith, not their failures. It's not that their sins were unimportant, it's that their sins were forgiven. It's a wonderful testament of the truth that we're saved by God's grace alone and that we live by faith. The justified, the ones that are right in God's eyes, the just live by faith in the Son of God who lived for and died for me. And verse tells you, 6 tells you plainly why faith is important. But it also may present to you a big problem. Are you hearing me? And that brings me to our question today, the title of our sermon, which message are you hearing? We can apply this to the whole Bible. You see, there's three ways to hear the message of Hebrews 11. Now let's read verse 6 again and then talk about these three ways because it'll fit everybody in here. It'll fit every passage you ever read in the Bible to you on some days and other days and what you've got to try to get to. This will help you with Bible study. Woo! Jesus is for me, he's with me, and I live and die for Jesus. Verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. Oh, wait. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So some people hear these things, different ways. Now, if you're a Christian, you already believe God exists, right? You know that he created and he controls the universe. You've already drawn near to God in faith. You've been saved by Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? And they know it is possible to please God. But when they read about all these heroes of the faith and Abraham and all this stuff and Noah and Moses and Gideon and Samson and then these others, it says, and others, and they did great things too. They did such great things. They persevered through such great troubles. You might wonder about your own faith. Or you might think it doesn't really matter. This is just the roll call of the greats. They had their problems too. This doesn't really apply to me. You know, I'm a believer. Or maybe you found the real focus of faith. You're right on time. Honestly. I want to speak to you no matter which of the three ways you're hearing this message. I'll define them clear. Because your perceptions will determine which message you're hearing and how this chapter will affect your life or not. So, what do you hear about your faith when you hear Hebrews 11? The first way you might hear it is law. Three words. First one is law. You're hearing about all these heroes, you're seeing all these wonderful things, and you think, you better be like this. And you're convicted, and that's a good thing, but you're condemned. You're condemned. You believe, I am not good enough. You think, I'll never have enough faith. Your inner narrative is God is against me. Well, that never happens. Thou shalt not do this. God is against me. You feel pressure as your reward instead of your reward. All you hear is, I can't do it. Every day I try, and it's such a struggle, and God must not be for me. I must not really have faith. Maybe I'm not saved, or I'm saved. I know. I'm just going to give up. I don't know. Pressure, 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 pressure. And then you give in one way to sin. And then you get over that and then find another way. Or then you go do good and then you go back to the old way. You're defined by your failure. But there's another way that we hear it. We don't hear it as law. We hear it as license. We see all these heroes and we think, I don't have to be like this. You don't have to be like this. I'm not in that book. Let me tell you something. You are supposed to be in Hebrews 11. I'm in there. You're in there. You're definitely in there. We're in there. But we hear his license. You hear, You don't have to be like this. You're careless and complacent. Not worried about growing. You believe, I am good enough. When you're hearing law, I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. Here you hear, I'm good enough. And it's not just this, you need to hear a word of encouragement. All this is like, I don't care, right? You think, I have enough faith. Relax. Your inner narrative is, God's not really interested in me. It doesn't really matter. I'm believing me. It's all of grace. Come on, stop pushing me, man. What happens to certain like that? They seek pleasure as their reward. I've got it made now. Now I can do what I want to do. This is what I'm running after. This is what matters to me. It's not about being a hero of the faith. Jesus is my hero. Okay, good, you know. I sit on the sidelines, let them play ball. Like you said, we'll be part of the game. Not a spectator. You're not called to be a spectator. You're called to be a participant. And when you drop the football, you pick it back up. Don't be defined by your failure. But these people are defined by their foolishness. Now, we've been that. We know we've been that. You see a passage in the Bible say, I'm not quite ready for that one yet. Right? Oh, wait a minute. Where there is no fuel. Uh-oh, here we go. Where there is no fuel, the fire dies out. Yet I'm just going to sit here and pour gasoline on the fire and just get on Facebook and get angry with everybody all day. There's a reason I don't do it. Because I'm little and I get angry and people would get me angry and I'd show my theological, and then even more people would leave me. You know, people say, we can't stop a fire once it started. Yeah, but you don't have to pour gasoline on it. Stop it. If you're being a doo-doo head, stop getting on Facebook. Or get with a prayer chain and just do that. Just do that. That's boring. You need to find something else that makes you happy, man. But here's what's going on. These people don't know the presence of God. They've forgotten what it's like. And so they take it as license. And so they hear Hebrews 11. They don't think, I'm just no good. They think, I'm good enough. Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're not beating themselves up. They're not depressed, but they're deceived. Ah. But there's a third way to hear this. Not as law, not as license, but as grace. You hear this and you hear, I can be like that. You're comforted. These people weren't perfect, but God commended them because of their faith. I can do that. Boy, I dropped all the footballs. My past is horrible. But that's not who I'm going to be, and that's not who I choose to be. Right? Grace, you hear? The word of grace is able to build you up. That's what Paul told the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20. He goes, I leave you with the word of grace. This is what our friend, our missionary, is going to say when he finds his Timothy. I leave you to the word of grace. You remember that. I commend you to the word of grace. They're being commended, his grace and their faith. Now, here's the pivot. People of law, I never have enough faith. License, I have enough faith. Grace, God is worthy of my faith. Law, I'm not good enough. License, I am good enough. Grace, God is good enough. Not God is against me. Not God isn't interested in me. The inner narrative of the grace man is God is for me. That's why these guys did that. Because God said, Abraham, I'll be with you. Yeah, okay. Well, there's these obstacles. Yeah, but God's with me. Yeah, these giants. Yeah, but God's with me. Yeah, but it's never rained on earth. Yeah, but God's with me. The whole world's demonized, but God's with me. Everybody's against me, but God's with me. Everybody's leaving me. God's still with me. What now, even now? What if, even if? You see, the possibility of a reward. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Well, I've been diligently seeking him every day. There must be more. Woohoo! You've heard the story of that big old pile of manure. There must be a horse in there somewhere. I can't eat oysters, but I'll shuck them all day till I find that pearl, baby. But you think, oh, yeah, but I'm not like that. Aha! What are you hearing? What are you hearing? You may be hearing it now. What are you hearing? Law, license, or grace. These people are defined by their faith. Not by their failures, not by their foolishness, but by their faith. But still, you hear that, you think, but that's not me. It can be. Now, the difference in the effect is tremendous, obviously, right? I'm just not talking about positive mental attitude, though, on that. I'm talking about a God. But why is there a difference in the first place? Anybody with me? Why is there a difference in the first place? Why do some hear this one way and others hear this another way? They read stuff like this and they think it. Here's the difference. The difference is where you focus your faith. Remember? I'll never have enough faith. I have enough faith. God is worthy of my faith. The difference is where you focus your faith. When you hear Hebrews 11 as law or as license, you're focusing your faith in yourself. However, if you want to exercise and grow in your faith, instead of starting with yourself, you have to start with God. That makes all the difference. You must first believe that He is. He commended them. They knew God. We think it's all about their faith, but it's not. This chapter is actually about grace. Did you realize that? Look what God can do with flawed individuals. Let me just do a real quick run through of some of the famous people in the Bible just to kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about here. The father of faith is who? Abraham, right? He's the father of faith. We're not children of Jacob. We're children of Abraham, right? We're spiritual Jews. But the father of faith wasn't always faithful. Did you know that? And when you talk about, you know, he had faith and he was going to have Isaac and all that, but there was somebody before Isaac named Ishmael. And he kind of went the wrong way out of order with that deal. But does chapter 11 talk about that? No. Was it important? Yes. Did God use it anyway? Yes. But the father of faith wasn't always faithful. Let's talk about another man everybody looks up to. Numbers 12, verse 3 says that this man was the most humble man on earth. Did you know who it is? The guy who wrote it, Moses. But God had him write it. Isn't that imagining things? I mean, that's incredible. But here he is, the humblest man on earth wasn't always humble. Remember, he couldn't go into the promised land because instead of doing, you know, speaking and slapping the rock, he did it the wrong way. And he wasn't able to, because he didn't humble himself before God, before the people. He put himself on God's level instead of on the people's level. No matter how high you get, you need mercy and grace, baby. So here's the great Moses, and he was great. He was incredible. He's Moses. But the humblest man wasn't always humble. I take great help in that. How about the strongest man who ever lived? Who's that? Samson. He was very weak, wasn't he? Think about Delilah, right? How about the man after God's own heart? My middle name, David. The man after God's own heart didn't always follow after God's heart. Remember Bathsheba. How about the wisest man who ever lived? Who's the wisest man who ever lived? We know, Solomon. Why does God always point these things out so that we can know something here? The wisest man who ever lived wasn't always wise. He had a harem of over 1,000 women. And let me tell you something, guys. You might think, woohoo, that's not wise. And all the married men said, whoa! I mean, come on. Let's see, how many granddaughters do I have? Okay, let's see. Taylan and Peyton and Riley. Yeah, I'm about to have my 6th granddaughter. We're going to have our 8th grandchild, and I'm all worried now. And they're different ages and things like that. And, all, you know, oh, I had a dream the other night that I was holding my little sugar plum and my little sweet pea gave me this, like, huh? Because now there's going to be another gumdrop and I'm holding them and she's going to be like, you either give me kisses now or you'll never get kisses again. And a car. Oh. But the wisest man who ever lived wasn't always very wise. There's another man. The greatest man who ever lived. Not before Jesus. But Jesus called him the greatest man who ever lived. Did you know that? Who is that? That's John the Baptist. But here's the thing. When was he calling John the Baptist the greatest man who ever lived? When John the Baptist had been in prison for 2 years. Remember, John the Baptist knew in his own womb, in his mother's womb, that Jesus was Jesus. It was his cousin. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But if you look at Luke 7, you look at Matthew 11, when he got put in prison for a couple years, he goes, are you the one? The greatest man in the history of the world. Wasn't great enough. Think about it. But now how are we hearing that? See, there, it doesn't matter to them. Take it easy. Let's go to Sonny's. Well, anyway. Now, how about the boldest man who ever lived? Who's bold? Who's bold? You know who's bold? Peter is bold. Peter would just stand up and just do whatever, man. He was a big guy, and he would just open his mouth all the time. But the boldest man who ever lived gave in to peer pressure. You'll find that in Galatians 2, where Peter was hanging out with all the new converts in Galatia. But when the cool kids from Jerusalem came over, he had to go sit with them, you know? And of course, Paul withstood him to his face. The guy who was bold says, you know, I'll hang out with these people. Then all of a sudden, gave in to peer pressure. You ever think about this? Most of what you hear from Peter in the Gospels wasn't right. But what he said about who Jesus is was exactly right. Think about it. He said, Jesus, I won't let them kill you. What did he say to Jesus say back? Get behind me, Satan. He said, you'll never wash my feet. He goes, then you'll never be clean. Whoops. He said, Jesus, I'll never deny you. And then he did again and again in front of a little girl. But this same man said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus himself said, man didn't tell you that. You got in touch with God. You heard from God. Now, Peter did some stupid things. But he's still a hero of the faith. Because which of these was more important, his failures or his faith? Which message are you hearing? These people were successful in God's eyes. And they are in our eyes, and they ought to be. Even though they had to overcome great obstacles, even though they had their issues, even though they still made mistakes. Is somebody hearing me today? Yes. Oh, it just doesn't matter. You just don't know my situation. God does. He's telling you this in this major chapter in the Bible. And the whole Bible. Even though they failed and sinned at times. These examples show you, and the whole Bible tells you, that you will always need mercy and grace. And you can always have mercy and grace. No matter how high you climb, you still need mercy and grace. And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, no matter how far you fall, you can still have mercy and grace. So what you always need is faith in God. Again, it may seem as Hebrews 11 is focused on the desire and devotion of the people of God, the people to God. But it's actually first focused on the desire and devotion of God to his people. That's why the people did what they did and why you can do what God calls you to do. In faith, because God is faithful. There's the Bible, potter, clay, end of lesson. That's it. That's the message of the Bible. Jesus is for me. Jesus is with me. I live and die for Jesus. It isn't living great for God. It's living like God is great to you. This isn't pride. This is humility. When you hold back and you say, I just can't do that, that's pride. That's not humility. That's pride. You can do what God calls you to do because God's God. Are you hearing the wrong message? Instead of reminding you of what Christ has done for you, through his cross, what's available to you, through repentance, faith, and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, when did we lose that? You look at how great these men and women are instead. All that does is show you how far from your own desires that you think they were. They must have never thought about that. Really? I just gave you a whole bunch of them. Or how far you are from where you think God demands you be or wants you to be. I'll never measure up. No, you never measure up to Jesus. Trust Jesus. Perhaps you think that since all people do have problems, it's all about grace, doesn't matter what you do, God's going to forgive you even if you don't care about pleasing him. But that, of course, is not pleasing to God. And it indicates a lack of faith altogether. And maybe you're not actually a Christian after all. If you fear you're not pleasing to God, that's one thing. Hear God's message of grace to you today. But if you don't even care about pleasing God, well, that's quite another. You need to hear the truth of verse 6. Because your supposed faith in a God is a God who doesn't exist. And your reward for seeking your imaginary God is going to be living eternally without his love. Hear that! And come to Christ in true faith, asking him to forgive you of your sins. You know, I'm not the guy I was. But at the cross, I'm still equal. We're all equal at the foot of the cross because we're all in equal need of the cross. Are you hearing the real God or just the God that's most real to you? He's for you. He was for these people. Yeah, they messed up all the time. But they picked the football back up, stayed in the game, put the right jersey on, and went to it. You see, let's begin to finish. One of the great obstacles to success. Now, wait a minute, because as soon as I hear it, you take on the role. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Boy, I want to look everybody in the eye. Listen to me. One of the great obstacles to success is feeling like you're a victim. Thinking that all the pressure is on you and you don't have what it takes. That can be very hard to overcome, especially when it may be true. Didn't run away from it, did I? Some people might be against you. Some situations are nearly impossible to overcome at times. And the devil is aiming at you too. Oh, yes. In some sense, we're all victim of our own sins and the sins of others and the schemes of Satan. Still, these people in Hebrews 11 overcame all this and did great things for God. Their main focus wasn't on their victimhood. Their focus was on God. What made these people heroes was their faith in God. But why did they have faith? Here's why. The reason that these heroes acted like heroes is because they knew God was for them. And so they pursued his call on their lives, no matter the cost, because God was worth it. They knew God was for them. They didn't act as if this meant they could do whatever they wanted to do. They were allowed to do whatever they wanted. Rather, it inspired and empowered them to do what God wanted them to do. Everybody else says, I can't do it. I can't dunk this basketball at over 50 years old. Heart attack, stroke, can't barely see. And I'm, yeah, again, and it's 10 foot up there. But if God says I'm doing it, I'm going to just keep trying. And everybody can laugh at me all you want to. Because one day I'll be going backwards. Bang. God calls you to do it. You can do it. Or he's calling you to fail on purpose so he can show you something else. God's never going to let you fail. Are you sure about that? God will never give you more than you can handle. Are you sure about that? He'll give you more than you handle, so you hand it over to him. But we feel pressure and think, I can't do it this time. And you just don't know, and you're going to get angry and leave here, hearing the law and not hearing grace, and you're going to go around the mountain again. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's everybody in here is going to come after me and say, you preached to me directly. I wrote this before you and your problems came to me this last week or two. This has been brewing in my soul for a long time. And like I said, everybody's hearing law, grace, or license in every passage of the Bible. Anybody hearing God now? This is true faith. It's humility and holiness before God, and it pleases him. You're acting on what he says about your future, not how you might feel in the present. What's faith? Acting as if God is in control of your future, not how you feel in the present. Let me say it one more time. I wrote it down. You're acting on what he says about your future, not on how you might feel in the present. That's the key to godly success. That's how to be a hero for the faith. It isn't about your power. It's about God's power, and he created and controlled the universe. You just said that. That's verse 6, right? Have faith in him, even when you don't have faith in yourself. The truth will set you free. And all you have to lose, you have nothing to lose, but the chains that you put on yourself. Not a positive mental attitude. It's the presence of God I'm talking about. Let the word of God's grace set you free to serve him. If you're a Christian and you think you can't please God, you're just going to just do it again. Hear what Hebrews 11:16 and Hebrews 2:11 say. Let me paraphrase them for you, but it says these words, God is not ashamed of you. God is not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed of you. But you just don't know what. Well, sometimes I do know what. And God definitely does know what. But he sees all your ugliness and says, I'm staying. He's not ashamed of you. He's not disgusted with you. He'll never give up on you. When your heart condemns you, remember that God is greater than your heart. 1 John 3:20. Don't let your limitations, your failures, your problems keep you from believing, embracing, and resting in his limitless, unfailing, problem-solving love. When you stand before God, you're not going to stand in shame. You're going to stand clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Folks, you know what that is? That's called the gospel. You should never be ashamed of that. Romans 1:16, you know it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. But I want to say something. The message that God wants you to hear is not just an affirmation. It is a challenge. God calls you to do the improbable and the impossible. But you can do it because he's for you. Jesus Christ lived and died for you, not only to save your soul, but to redeem your life. The power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are meant to inspire you and empower you to do his will in any and every situation. That's God's call on your life. Now, it looks different for each one of us, but it's essentially the same for all of us. To glorify God, what does that mean? It means revealing his character through your character, whatever situation it may be. That's glorifying God. Show the world who Jesus is and what he means to you by how you live your life. That's what the video we saw today was. I was like, ooh, they knew. It was exactly that. Show Jesus to people what he means to you, how you live your life. That's living by faith. That's being a hero in the eyes of God when Jesus is the hero to you. You can fulfill his call on your life. Even if no one stands with you and even if everyone stands against you. We read it this morning. If God be for you, who can be against you? God will always be faithful to you. God will always be faithful to you. The question is, do you have faith? Depends on which message you're hearing. I was going to shut off the recording and then just do this just with us, but I'm going to go ahead and do it now. Because you've heard that, and I want you to hear grace. But I'm going to apply this. And I hope you hear it as an opportunity and not an obstacle. You wear yourself out going after things in the wrong order. It isn't a sin to want to be blessed. But you can get everything you want. You could have everything just the way you want it. And yet all the blessings in the world don't mean anything if God isn't with you. If you're a Christian, God is for you. But is God with you? Are you pulling God into your life or pushing God out of your life? Think about that when you start doing that thing. Are you pulling God into your life or pushing God out of your life? Why would you be pushing him out? Because you don't think you're worth it. You don't think he's worthy. Something's going on. Get down to that level. It's not the thing. That's a manifestation of what's going on in your heart, the idol. Boom. And he wants to root that thing out. But God doesn't want to help you sin. He wants to help you get out of your sin. And God will help you get the good things you're pursuing. He wants you to get to the promised land. But he wants you to pursue him first. He wants you to say, I'm not going to the promised land. Yes, you're going with me. He's more important and valuable than anything else you could possibly want or need. Listen, I'm not talking about just being saved. I'm talking about his presence being with you. You need to fully abandon yourself to seek him. He says, he's a rewarder. I love how the King James put it. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Fully abandon yourself to that. Your greatest goal must be the presence of God, the sweet communion, the daily fellowship with the one who created and controls the universe. It's the only thing that's indispensable. All the goals you have for God, all the things you want to do, all the things he's promised you are nothing without his presence. But anything you lose, anything that's tough, anything that's hard is worth it when he's got your presence, when you're, you know, when he's with you. This isn't some checklist of duties. This is a real relationship with the living God. This isn't just a few prayers, just a little Bible reading, just a few church meetings, just enough God to get the job done. If you're just playing at this, then you're just playing the fool. You guys know how it is. You got people, and they'll be, and as soon as they get what they got going, they leave again. Right? Help me out of the pit. Now give me back the shovel. I mean, and I've been there, and you've been there. Hear God's grace. Ask Solomon. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes. All the things you can have and do are worth nothing without him. You know, you can have nothing but blessings from God and still miss the greatest blessing from God. What's the greatest blessing of God? The greatest blessing of God is the presence of God. Is that what you really want? Do you actually, really know the difference? Jesus is for me. Jesus is with me. I live and die for Jesus.